All right. As most of you that have been here before, we've always had this featured speaker, and she's always enjoyed entertaining us, but also teaching us. She has changed jobs. Alyssa Rodriguez has been a speaker here for a while, and she's always given us the economic forecast. And back this past fall, when the two of us were speaking about a potential new opportunity, I told her that I was going to have to be involved with her negotiations for her new job because I needed to make sure that this speech was included. So I'm very, very fortunate that I've got a couple of friends over in Commerce, and we were able to put this in her package so that she was able to come down. The only thing was Brittany drove a hard bargain. I had to pay for her to come back and forth in her hotel and all, because, as you know, the state doesn't have a lot of money right now. So we were able to do that. But Alyssa is now the development manager for the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. She had previously conducted research for the Alaska Department of Labor for almost 10 years, where she focused primarily on the economies of the Kenai Peninsula, Fairbanks, and rural communities around Alaska. She's going to continue to do a variety of different things, and we're really, really fortunate to have her here today. So let's give her a nice, warm welcome. Alyssa?
Good morning, and I'm really excited to be back here again. This is really kind of my traditional presentation, as much as they are ever traditional, that I give to you. I have a little kind of add-on at the end that's really kind of switching gears and looking at what I'm doing now, which is more along the economic development side of things as opposed to kind of looking backwards and really looking at the research. I'm going to try to grab the other mic so that I can walk around because I'm too highly caffeinated. Bear with me. Something like that. So it's a general 80s thing. We'll start off with a nod to Stranger Things here with your Kenai things. And yeah, thank you for KPED and to Raven and Aspen for bringing me up here. I really appreciate it. Like I said, one of my favorite things to do is come up here and talk to you guys. So I have shown this slide several times. Those of you who are familiar and come here often probably remember this. I update it every year. And I typically tell you just how much you are alike with the state. And it looks like you're very similar here. You have more oil and gas still. After all these oil and gas job losses, you still have more in terms of a percent of jobs that are related to oil and gas in the state as a whole. However, as I was digging into the data a little bit this year, I really was interested in the little ways in which you are different, the little ways in which you're more diverse than the state, which is really fascinating. So even inside, we look at manufacturing. I don't know if you can tell, but you have a little bit more manufacturing than the state. What's really cool, I think, is that when we look at manufacturing statewide, it's seafood. That's really what it is. When we look at wages, it's reflected that it's seafood, seafood, seafood. When we look here, there's still seafood. That's still a big part of what gets manufactured. But there is enough other manufacturing, things like metal fabrication and transportation-related manufacturing, that it's big enough to boost the overall wages in manufacturing, and I'll show you that in a little bit. But that's just one example of the small ways in which, while it looks like you're almost exactly like the state, you're not. You're diverse and different in these small, important ways that I think really makes the Kenai much more diverse and much more resilient when we're looking at these sorts of recessions. So we're looking at statewide changes in jobs year to year here, and you can really see the recession down there in red. What's interesting, potentially encouraging, is that those losses are decreasing. So what we're seeing here, we're still amassing losses in jobs year over year, but those losses are decreasing, if that makes sense. You kind of think of this as if you're coming off a mountain into a big, wide valley. So you're still dropping, you're still declining, but at a decreasing rate. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay, cool. I've really been hoping that would be a good metaphor. And it's similar to what's going on in Kenai, a little bit different, but similar. The 2018 there, 0.5% loss, that's what's forecasted for next year. And I'll show you Kenai in a minute. That's kind of what I think is going to happen in Kenai. That's what I'm thinking. 2018, anywhere from flat to 0.5 down. But I also want to point out again just how you are different. And I've showed this one before. It's updated for the 2010s, if you see the most recent piece of data there. Every year, every decade, going back to the 60s, Kenai has outpaced the state in terms of job growth. That's pretty spectacular. That's really saying something, that going that far back, you continue to outpace the state in job growth. And it continues through the recession. So the 2010s there go through 2017, the most recent data that I've got. And 0.2% job growth going back for Kenai versus 0.3% job growth for the state as a whole. I'm shocked the state's even still eking out any growth when we average that out, but it is almost flat. But the Kenai is still at 0.2. That's astounding. And that really is because of the diversity of what you've got going on in the economy here. This one, I realize that blue might be a little hard to see, but what we're looking at here, the bars over here, that's jobs. The line is a change year over year, percent change in job growth. And you can see that the last 3 years, you've been bringing in job declines, just like the state. A little bit different in terms of the percent, but just like the state. And the reason why I have these two pieces of data is because I think if you look at the percent change, it can really look like the sky is falling. And I don't want you to feel like the sky is falling. Things are not great, but the sky's not falling. And that's why I have the bars up here so you can see total jobs. And you can see just how much and how big those job losses are. The 0.7% for 2017 here, that's just for the first half of the year. That's kind of a little bit of a forecast. Only the first half of 2017 data is available. So that's what I've got. I will give you the caveat that when I showed you a similar graph last year, I thought that 2016 was only going to have about 0.6 to 0.8% job loss. And when the full year came in, it was all the way at 1.9. The third quarter just really was not as good as I had expected it to be in 2016. You would know far better than I just how good or just how bad the third quarter of 2017 was, and whether or not you think that 2017 job change is going to be revised up or down. I just don't have access to that data yet. I realized that as I was putting this together, that with my new job, all these things I wanted to look into, I was like, I don't have access to that data anymore. Cried a little at my desk. So this is, I really like this slide. I want to show it to you for reference. We're looking at the 80s here. This is the 80s recession in a nice clean graph. And what we're looking at is just how long different industries registered job losses. So total employment lost jobs for 25 months in a row. And we've already surpassed that in Kenai, and I'll show you that slide a little bit later. But what's interesting, and what I really want to drive home, is kind of the waves of this. And I've used a metaphor before here about throwing a pebble or a rock, however you want to do it, into a pond. And those ripples kind of go out. And it starts with the first industry that really kicks off the recession, then it goes to the ones that are directly related to that industry, then it goes out to those more indirectly related industries. And we're seeing this now. So in the 80s, it was construction. This time, it was kind of oil and gas. And that's where we saw those job losses first. Then it went to transportation and communication in the 80s. Then it went to trade. And that's kind of where we are right now. That's where we are statewide. That's where we are in the Kenai. We're in that third wave, if you want to call it that, of job losses. So now we're seeing job losses in the trades. Or I shouldn't say in the trades. Trade here is retail trade. And that's where we're seeing it now. So we're looking at job losses and or gains by industry sector. So you can see total jobs lost, and this is again just the first half of 2017 compared to the first half of 2016, about 260 total jobs lost. Retail trade, 165. That looks really depressing to me. And the only thing that I can really say that makes this a little bit more hopeful to me is that I think that this means that we are in that third wave of job losses. And that would mean that we will come out of this recession relatively soon. And I have a couple pieces of data that I'll point to that I think really
agree with that hope, that give me that hope, that make me think that maybe we are on the third wave and then moving on. Oil and gas, this is the first time in several years that I've been able to show you a slide with oil and gas jobs going up. Now it's only 20, it's really not much, but it's not still losing jobs. And then you've got healthcare, and we've got local government. Local government, I have a slide on that a little bit later, but I think it's interesting that local government's been able to add some jobs during this recession. I'll try to remember to come back to that. I got a lot to cover. But in 2009, I kind of talked about, if you could time travel and remember with me, I talked about how the state was able to behave as a stabilizing force during the nationwide recession. Our state still had money. Our state was able to not hemorrhage jobs like other states were at that time. And now I think the local government, that's borough, that's cities, that's school district, I think that's what's happening here, is it's in a position to act as a stabilizing force during this recession. Okay. It's a statistically important brain break. Research shows, and I've told you this before, research shows that if you give people a break, hopefully if they laugh a little bit, they actually retain information better. So this is very important, not just a reason to look up comics. And now you have this stuck in your head, which is my gift to you. So mining, construction, professional technical services. So this is all kind of related to that first wave of job losses that we would expect in a recession that's really focused around oil and gas. And you can still see those giant job losses when we look at mining, when we look at construction and professional and technical. But if you can focus just on that part that's furthest away on the graph for me, you can see that it's just starting to flatten out. At least that's what I want to believe. It's not just my belief. But you can actually see things starting to flatten out. And that to me says, we're done with that first wave and moving on. Unfortunately, here is that third wave. So you can see big losses in retail. You can see the losses in accommodations, food and drink. That's not encouraging. But again, I think this is part of that third wave of job losses. And that will hopefully be kind of turning around, and also indicates that we're getting to the end of the recession. Finance and real estate. This is another part of that third wave of job losses that we would expect. These industries are kind of indirectly related. So we think you are the jobs, so oil and gas, directly related construction, technical, business services, engineers, those sorts of folks. And then we get out to retail, then we get out to finance and real estate. This data doesn't include all of the folks who are in real estate. Now we typically have a lot of real estate folks in the room, so I'm interested to hear from you as to if this is your experience as well. Losses in real estate could be larger than this because a lot of them are not included in this data set, or could be smaller than this because, again, a lot of them aren't included in this data set, but at least gives us a point of reference. Healthcare. I really appreciated the presentation earlier on healthcare. I find it a little bit difficult in recent times to be able to talk about healthcare. For so long, we touted it as the industry that was growing. It was the industry for many years that made the state of Alaska total jobs actually grow from year to year. Without it, we would have lost jobs for several years in a row. That was tough to start to talk about because of the concerns about cost and just how much was it costing us, and was it a good thing that it was growing. So it's really encouraging to hear about what's changing in healthcare when we see growth in healthcare. And this is healthcare and social services there on the bottom. But it's been growing a little bit, not a ton, but again, anything that kind of helps, especially if the growth is coming from services and resources that aren't as high cost as it has historically been. Local government. This one, like I said, was pretty interesting to me. I think what I don't have access to anymore, which pains me, is to know what level of local government was this growth coming from. Did it come from the borough? Did it come from cities? Did it come from the school district? But regardless, what I do think it still is indicative of is the fact that local government is able to behave as kind of a stabilizing force during these very trying times in the kingdom, when state and federal can't really. State and federal just holding steady. At least they are holding steady. and we're not losing those jobs. They tend to be a little bit more high paid, which is also a good thing. Oh, I forgot to tell you about wages. Time travel with me real quick. I don't want to forget it. Wages. So, retail trade versus oil and gas. We lost oil and gas jobs for years. If you lose 10 oil and gas jobs, you're looking at like $1 million. If you lose 10 retail trade jobs, you're looking at what, like about 300,000? That's a big difference. So I don't mean to say that losses in retail trade are not important. They are still important. And we could end up with a situation where when you lose oil and gas jobs, those folks can still take care of themselves for a while, potentially. They might have savings, they have their own cushion. When you lose these kind of jobs, you may be losing jobs with folks who don't have those kinds of cushions in place, and they may need more services. But I just didn't want to forget to make that point about the differences in the wages associated with jobs that are being lost now versus what we used to be losing. Okay, fish. So I was incredibly interested in this, also because this is 2016 data. This is from the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, and they don't have the 2017 data ready yet. I have heard that 2017 was a fantastic year in terms of fishing. That poundage was up, prices were up, it was great. This is really hugely down. Can I use hugely? I think I can use that. This is enormous losses, both in poundage and in terms of total dollars coming in. Now, all of these dollars are going to stay here, but a significant portion of these dollars are going to stay here for boat repair, slip fees, just folks who live here and actually fish here. So this is a big loss in terms of total dollars coming into the community in 2016, which could potentially roll over into 2017, could have caused some of the job losses in retail, leisure and hospitality that we saw. But again, 2016, we're traveling too far back in time at this point. I'm going to talk about wages again. Still wanted to make the point before that time travel is important, but not everything increases in cost. This is really important. I'm gonna talk about inflation. I talk about it every year, but I do want to drive home the point that not everything increases in cost. So this is, oh, you can't read this at all. So I will try. I can't even read it. I'm right here. I need bigger glasses. So some things have increased enormously in cost, and we're going back. I think this is to the 80s. Yeah, this is like 82, 84. Other things have dropped dramatically in cost. So amongst the things that have dropped in cost, cell phone service, televisions, personal computers, things that have gone up. College tuition, that's the one on the top. Child care, nursery school, health care, vehicle maintenance. So there's a huge differentiation in the things that have increased in price and the things that have decreased in price. Overall, costs have still increased. But I just want to point this out when we're talking about prices, when we're thinking about how the value of our dollar changes over time. It really depends on what you're spending those dollars on. If you're spending those dollars on healthcare, childcare, college tuition, those dollars obviously will not go as far. If you're spending those dollars on the super cool cell phone, it's going to go a lot farther than it used to. A bag phone was very expensive. I still remember bag phones. Okay, typically, we keep up with inflation. As a borough, on the whole, wages keep up year after year. Last year, just barely squeaked by in order to keep up with inflation, meaning average annual wages in the borough went up just enough in terms of percent to actually make it so that we could keep buying as much as we were able to purchase the year before. That didn't happen this year. The average annual wages in the borough, went down $1,400. A lot of that's going to come from what types of jobs are being lost, but also just job loss in general is going to bring down total wages. The borough was not alone. Statewide, average annual wages went down $1,000. $1,000 on average. The only places that I have on this list that actually increased, Fairbanks went up, Valdez Cordova went up a little bit, Juneau, none of them by more than $300. Still didn't keep up with inflation. The Cassilic Census area, which has the lowest wages, actually went up by 500, but they really are starting at such a low level, and they have very few jobs that, I mean, that's barely, I mean, it's helpful, but it's still pretty small. North Slope Borough, any guesses on how far that dropped last year? You know you want to. More. That was 1,000. Going once?
4,500.
4,000. Nice. $4,000. This is the first time it's been under $100,000 in a really long time. I think it maybe last year just squeaked below. But now, I mean, it's decidedly less than $100,000. And that's from oil and gas job loss. Because there's such high paid jobs that when we lose them, it drops the average for the state. That's a lot of money no longer coming into our state, into our communities, etc. Okay, so that was depressing. Moving on. This I thought was very encouraging, and I was kind of surprised by this. So this is, I have the first half of 2017, and this is for the borough, gross taxable sales. When we compare the first half of the year to the first half of 2016, it was up by 6%, and that's just in the first half. That's not even including the third quarter, which, fingers crossed, is always the largest quarter. So if that were to even maintain in terms of gross taxable sales with 2016, not even grow, just maintain, we'd still be better than we were in 2016. So I'm really hoping, this is one of those things that gives me hope and encourages me into this idea that we're kind of moving through that third wave of the recession and moving upward and onward into at least flat growth, if not actual job growth in 2018. I wouldn't hold my breath for growth. I don't want to give that impression. I'm not holding my breath, but at least flat. Population, this drives a lot of what's going on. There's always that chicken and the egg. If you have jobs, people will come. If you have a lot of people, you need more jobs. Still positive, but less than a percent. If you look at the Kenai Peninsula, 2015 to 16, that's the most recent data, unfortunately, less than a percent. We're at 0.6 population growth. Over the last 6 years, going back to 2010, it was 0.8. So the increase in population is getting smaller. Same thing is happening statewide. Mattsu's the only one that's really adding a ton of people. People are still moving there. They have cheaper housing. They still have taxes. They have more taxes than Anchorage. You're not escaping that. But they have cheaper housing and those sorts of things. So they're still drawing people from both the state and from out of state to move right into the Mattsu. And you are still drawing people here as well at a much greater rate than Anchorage. And even at a greater rate than the state as a whole. And so what we've been thinking about and really looking into with population is where are the losses coming from? What's changing? Population changes because you have people being born, you have people dying, you have people moving in, people moving out. That's the only way population changes. So what's going on here is we have a little bit more people moving out, a little bit less people moving in, and then people are kind of being born and dying at approximately the same rates as they have been in recent time. Those small changes in the number of people moving out, people moving in, are what's drastically reducing our population growth and really making it so we have a very flat trajectory in terms of population growth. So that's really interesting. We also have a pretty good economy in the lower 48. So when people leave here, they can get a job fairly quickly. So we don't really have an edge on the lower 48 at this point. If you think about the fact that our wages aren't increasing on average, we already have higher costs to begin with. If you lose a job, you don't really have any reason to stay. If you're down south, you don't really have a big reason to come up here. We're not growing like we used to be. So it's really impacting our overall population growth, which some people might say is great. We don't need more people. Stay where you are. Southeast is the only one that's losing jobs. Southeast has had many years of just barely growing and declining, and that's kind of just the way Southeast has been for quite some time. Wait, before you rock. One thing that I do want to point out that's different about your population versus the state, another way in which you're a little bit different, you have a higher percentage of retirees. You have a little bit higher percentage of veterans. And those things, I think, make you a little bit different. It changes your workforce. The higher percentage of retirees means that you have more transfer payments coming in. So transfer payments being any kind of pay that you, any wages you bring in for work, not for work. So the PFD is a transfer payment. If you get dividends from anything, if you own part of IBM, that's transfer payments. If you get retirement payments or disbursements, then that's a transfer payment. And so you have a little bit higher rate of transfer payments, which is great. You have people not doing anything, and they're still getting money at a higher rate in the borough than you do other places in the state. And that just adds to the diversity of the economy. Now you can rock. And now you have that stuff in your head, too. So I want to go back out to the state. So we're looking at oil and gas jobs. That's really the 800-pound gorilla is what's going on with oil and gas. We are still intricately tied to oil and gas as a state. That's not changing. And you can see just how dramatic those job losses have been. They've got a little bit smaller. We don't have that same drop there. We're still at a higher level than we were back in the 90s, when we were back in the early 2000s. So when we think about where we are, we need to have a nice historical perspective here. Prices are still higher as well, but it takes a lot more to run the state than it used to. So a good historical perspective, I think, is important. People want to take, all right. We had a photo opportunity. I didn't want to ruin its photo op. So this is just a different way of looking at those oil industry losses that actually started, I think this is something that not a ton of people know, they actually started in 2015. Our recession started in 2015, but it was just the latter half of 2015. So it wasn't until 2016 that we had enough job losses that the whole year was down, but we actually started back in 2015. You can see if you go all the way down there, in June, July of 2016, that's when we were losing jobs at the fastest rate. That was kind of the peak of job losses. And since then, those job losses have been slowing in oil and gas. So again, I think indicative of coming back out. Now, there are lots of threats when we talk about recessions. And a lot of them were talked about back in 2009 when the nation was going through a recession, that whole double dip or the W, those sorts of things, or a stagnant recovery. So think Detroit. That's a big worry that has been bounced around, is that we would turn into Detroit. We would end up in a situation where we don't really have job losses continuing, but we don't have job growth, that we just kind of stagnate. And I'm hoping that that's not something that's going on in Alaska. I think there's enough energy and enough focus that we won't let that happen. I think particularly on the Kenai, I don't think that threat is as high, just because of the level of collaboration that was mentioned earlier and those sorts of things that are going on in the borough, that I don't think that we run a huge risk of ending up like Detroit or ending up in a double dip. Bringing this up again to really drive home that point about the different waves of a recession and where I think we are now. I think we're in that third wave. I think we're hopefully coming out of it. Hopefully the Kenai will see anywhere between flat growth to just down about 0.5% in 2018. I think it would be very optimistic to think that we're going to grow in 2018. That would be fantastic, and I've certainly been wrong many times. So I hope that I'm wrong in that way. But I do want to point out that in the 80s, the recession on a whole, in terms of total jobs, only lasted 25 months. It was 25 months before we were adding jobs on a year-over-year basis. We were already at 27 months of year-over-year job losses on the Kenai, and that's just going through the first half of 2017, because that's as far as the data goes. So we've already surpassed that. So we are, and it's been a different recession from the beginning. It was caused for different reasons. We started out as a different economy when we went into the recession, so it was never going to be exactly the same, but we're already past that 25 months. Okay. Again, a few minutes. So that was what I used to do. That was labor, and that was very much a retrospective. We're looking at where we were. What I do now is much more looking at where we are going, which is fun. It's much more positive. You don't get depressed as often. I don't cry at my desk except about data. So hopefully you can see this, and I actually have, I brought some fun thumb drives with information on them. But what we have come up with, the state now has a comprehensive economic development strategy. Other places in the state have had one for years. The borough has had one. The borough has one now. It looks at what are your objectives, where do you want to go, what do you want to do, and this was put together at a statewide level for the first time with industry It wasn't made by government. It was made by industry. We kind of were a facilitator to figure out where do different industry sectors want to go? What do we need in this state to help us grow? And these are the different objectives that we're going to work on this year. We have 28 total objectives, which is huge, and we have 5 years to do it. So in year one, we're going to tackle the Brady Bunch. There's actually 10, but I combined two of them because I needed to make it Brady Bunch-esque. So I'll start with workforce and economic development. The goal there, the objective, is to really better link economic development and workforce development. Those two should go together. If we have industry that wants to accomplish great things, we need a workforce that can actually do those things, that has those skills. So we need workforce development to be working with economic development. And that has been going on. Abtech's a great example of that, of industry and workforce development really working together to make sure we have trained people who have any credentials that they might need to go forth and make the economy grow. The visitor industry, enhancing the visitor industry is one of our objectives in year one. I think the Kenai is a great example of that. You guys have a really thriving visitor industry, not just to other folks who live in Alaska, like being Anchorage's playground, the Mat-Su, the traffic out here in the summer is horrific, but you bring people in from out of state as well. This is a destination for people around the globe, and that's really spectacular. Extraction industries, so that one is supporting extraction industries. By no means is this an attempt to move away from what we have been. We recognize that our economy, like I said, is intricately linked to the oil and gas industry and mining and all sorts of extractive industries. That's what we have been, and that's not going to change anytime soon. All these other ways to try to enhance our economic growth and diversity doesn't mean we're no longer going to be an oil and gas, mining, fishing state. And so we still want to stand by those industries and support them in any way that we can. Seafood and maritime. We actually have two objectives regarding seafood and maritime. We want to increase seafood employment, and we want to maximize opportunities in the maritime sector. And Joel's going to talk about the ocean economy later, which is really fantastic and a really great way to kind of look at the maritime sector in a much more holistic sense. And so can we bring different groups together to try to make sure that everybody knows what everybody else is doing, that technologies that are being used in transportation are also known and applied, if possible, to seafood? What are those kind of connections that can be made that really help everybody involved? So increasing import substitution, the flip side of that, decreasing imports, is another objective. So we house at the Division of Economic Development, we house the Made in Alaska program. So that nice little, this is what happens. I don't usually move much quicker. Off to my man. Done it before. So we house the Maine Alaska program, the little polar bear, mama and cub that gets put on things. That's one way that we want to try to enhance import substitution. Really try to grow that program and give back to the folks who are permit holders in that program. We also have Alaska Grown. I'm sure most of you know about the Alaska Grown program. That's not ours, but all right, thank you. There's that one. And there's also the Alaska, the Silver Hand program that really highlights Native arts and Native crafts and products. And so that wraps into the arts industry down there. But we want to try to enhance in any way we can what we do in state. We need to work harder at taking care of ourselves, providing for ourselves, and really focusing on what we can do in this state and do more of it. Microfinance. Penny Gage also works in the Division of Economic Development. She's gonna talk to you later about crowdfunding, but microfinance in general and really educating people, businesses, nonprofits, anybody who might need financing, trying to help folks figure out what kind of financing do you need? What fits best with what you've got going on in your setup. Crowdfunding might not be for everyone. Just appealing to your closest friends and family might not fit for a larger business. So what are the different options that are available? And we have, I think, like 9 different loan programs as well. So trying, I need to learn what they all are, but trying to, wow, it's like time travel. Thank you very much. Trying to figure out and then educate others on what financing options are available. There are a million grants. Does everyone know what they are? There are things that you would think are economic development that are really more labor development. And so how can we work together to make sure that people are getting the funding that they need to make things happen? rural entrepreneurship. The objective itself is to take all of the resources that are available in urban settings. So Anchorage is a really cool startup community. They got a bunch of resources. How can we get those to the folks in rural Alaska? How can we make sure that even though you're not in Anchorage, you still have access to these resources, you still know what they are and those sorts of things? So we're working for the Center for Economic Development over at UAA, because they have a cool grant to do this. And so we're working with them to try to figure out what's the best way to do that. There's some folks at the Tanana Chiefs Conference who are really interested in enhancing rural entrepreneurship. So they're gonna come into this conversation. And that's really my ask for this, is if you have any interest in any of these, I want to work with anyone who has any kind of cool ideas or just wants to be aware of what's going on. That's what we're trying to build. We're trying to build this collaboration, not just within the borough, but really at a statewide level, so that we're not doing things that have already been done. Okay, energy costs. We're working on a working group to try to bring down energy costs. I want to give time, and I already talked about heights. Okay, time for questions, either future looking or backwards looking, whatever you want to do. I think I have, just my thank you slide. I have a new phone number if you want it. If you have questions about data or are really excited about the future instead of the 80s and want to work with us on that. Questions? Excellent question. So this data all looks at where the jobs are. We have to look at income if we want to see where people take those wages home. And this does decrease if we look at income instead of wages. So in this slide, all these dollars are just being assigned to wherever someone works. And so we have a little bit of a similar situation on the Kenai. Some folks come out here and they work and they take their wages elsewhere. The Kenai and Matsu are the only places in the state that are actually importers of wages. So you have a higher percentage of these wages that are actually coming home to the Kenai than the most other places in the state. I think Matsu is the only one that's higher. The wages, if we did take out all of oil and gas, and we just look at income on the North Slope, it still is actually quite a bit higher than other places around the state. Reason being is that their borough actually gets a lot of money from oil and gas. And so the borough hires a lot of people. They actually have a really big borough kind of government. And they're paid relatively well because they have the funds to do that. So this still would be fairly high, but it would definitely be lower on the list if we took out all those non-local resident earnings. Yeah. Other questions? I don't know how much time I have. Feel free. Yeah, I think there are other folks going to talk later today that I think, like, maybe Karen can talk about that. I think there are other folks who could answer that a little bit better. I think if we have more jobs that are similar to North Slope jobs, historically speaking, we've had a decent amount of those wages coming back to the Kenai. So I would think if we had a similar situation where this pool of jobs was increased, it would positively impact the average income in the Kenai borough. In my previous job, where I gathered all this data from, so I worked with Neil, and Neil Freed, who has the bow tie, many of you may know, he's really like my Debbie Downer, and I was the Susie Sunshine, and so we'd go back and forth, and so, yeah, we would talk about what if we turn into Detroit, but we could never turn into Detroit, and we would go back and forth. But I think the quality of life on the Kenai is something that we shouldn't really dismiss. There's a reason why your population growth is, although it's very small, still higher than most other places around the state. And a big part of that is going to be the quality of life. The reason why the retiree population is higher here in terms of percentage than in other places around the state is, again, because of that quality of life. So I don't think that's something that we should really discount when we're talking about what are the assets that the Kenai has, how is the Kenai diverse and more resilient. Just having a place that people want to come and live, along with wanting to come and visit, really makes it a place that's gonna have a more diverse economy and that's gonna be more resilient in general. That's a great question. So if everybody didn't hear it, it was a question about how are we gonna attract the cannabis industry. It's going to be difficult to capture, I think, from a labor data perspective. A lot of those jobs are just gonna go, they're gonna be counted in retail, or they're gonna be counted in manufacturing, or they may even be counted in farming. which isn't really well represented, farming isn't well represented here. So it's going to be difficult to capture there. Because it is taxed, we can track that data. It's one of the reasons why we've always advocated for like a 0.001% tax at least. We could capture the data. But there is tax data, so we look at that. And the Division of Economic Development actually puts out a report. It was just released. It's on our website. It's really a great report that looks at all sorts of different economic indicators. It's collected from different places. And we've tossed around the idea of should it or should it not include data like marijuana tax revenue and alcohol tax revenue and those sorts of things, which aren't currently included. But especially if there's an interest in tracking that, that's definitely something that we could try to start tracking, because the data is available because it's taxed. In terms of how it would affect other industries and their growth or not, that's always really hard to suss out from data. There's so many things changing all at once that we could, you know, have a new store open up and say, oh, well, a restaurant popped up right next to it, a snack shack popped up right next to it, beanbag place opened up right next to it, but did they open up because of it, or was it just a happy coincidence? We really don't know. So
I promise we'll bring her back as a guest speaker from now on in her new role, but it's always fun to see how we make the information fun and interesting, and you will remember some of those things just because of the way it was presented.